Well, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you to keep praying for Pastor Charlie. He has had the eye surgery, and he's recovering pretty well. I don't know if he's in here today. He was here around earlier for a bit, but he is recovering. And Brother Bill Britton had some surgery this week as well, and he is recovering. So continue to pray for those two men, and we need them back as quickly as possible. When they're not here, we don't have anybody to pick on as much, and so we need them around. But we love them and appreciate your prayers for them. This morning, in this month of prayer in July, with five Sundays, we've been emphasizing a prayer need each Sunday. Today we're going to be honoring those who work in our educational system in our local area, here in DeSoto County or the region around here. Now, connected to our church, other than teachers, we have people who are kitchen personnel, office workers, classroom aides, bus drivers, and more, even besides the teachers that are in the classroom. And they teach children from preschool here, right here on campus at our church and around the area, all the way to college. We have professors in college that are part of our congregation. And we also have families that homeschool their children. So among our people, we have a wide variety. I think I need to go to school and learn how to talk again. I always had trouble with saying weekly reader. Anybody else have trouble with that? That's always been a struggle for me. So a wide variety is difficult for me. But there are those who criticize our teachers from time to time, and probably like every profession, there's some teachers that need to be critiqued a little bit. But what I want us to think about today is this, that most of the educators that we know of do not enter that field because of the promise of riches. Can I get an amen from our teachers? So there must be something else that drives them, something else that should call from us our support and our gratitude for what they do. The women and the men that we're aware of that are teachers, they teach youthful students all the way from preschool up through 8th grade or 6th grade, wherever we want to break that. The young adults that start in junior high and high school, college, and even mature adults are taking classes nowadays. And we have teachers who are personally engaged in that role of what we call the teacher. But in checking online and thinking a little bit, I realized that the role of the teacher is more than just that one aspect that we normally think of. We could go on and on, but let me list just a few that I discovered. A teacher is also an instructor. A teacher is a guide. They become a friend and a mentor. They're a role model, motivator, a listener, a counselor, a guardian, an advocate, and much more that a teacher does in their classroom or with their students. Now, I'm not here today to exhaust all the virtues of our teachers, but I did want us to begin this morning by those of you who are maybe not in the school system, not in the educational system, joining with me and just acknowledging those that are among us who serve in so many ways. We appreciate what they do, and they inspire us. Now, at the end of our service today, we want to pray especially for them, but we want them to know that they are on our prayers, in our hearts throughout the year. So I tried to see how we could pull these things together, and my sermon today is entitled, My God, My Teacher. In a moment, we're going to read from Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 20. So if you want to get that, you might look that up. But like an educator, I also realize that God, too, has many different roles that he fulfills in our lives. I have a book that lists several hundreds of the titles and names for God in the scripture. Just pulling out some of those among all of those hundreds, God is known to us like this. He is our refuge. He is a helper. He's a comforter. He's the shepherd. He's our leader and judge. He's a redeemer, a master. He's the shelter in the storm. He's the healer. And yes, the Bible even calls him our teacher. Now, the Bible includes many different examples of the grace of God displayed before us, how he extends his grace to us. About 2 weeks ago, I picked up my devotional book that I'm using now called Stand Firm. A lot of our men use that. At least they pick them up. I don't know how many use it, but I try to get into it regularly. And about 2 weeks ago, I opened up the devotion for that day, and I came across the devotion and the passage of Scripture that was amazing to me. It was something that really registered with me or resonated with me, reminded me of God's grace. Have you ever done your devotion day by day or several times a week, and then all of a sudden one day you pick it up and you say, holy cow, this is, there I said it again. I got to get rid of this Cubs lingo here a little bit. But holy cow, this is exactly the word that I needed to hear from God today. Anybody else do that occasionally? That it's just, man, this is the day that it really hits me. And that was the day for me. I had been praying for some direction in my life in a certain area, and I was eager to hear from God. And when I opened this up and read this passage of Scripture, I said, oh my goodness, this is specifically for me. So I hope that it's not just about me today. I'm hoping that God gives me the ability to convey to you the same excitement that I got when I read this passage. Let's read it together. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20 through 21. It says, the Lord will give you meager bread and water during oppression, but your teacher will not hide himself any longer. Your eyes will see your teacher, and whenever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear this command behind you. This is the way, walk in it. Now, I know some of you probably have versions, translations that have the word prophets in there instead of teacher, but in the original language, it is really a singular noun, and whenever that's used in Scripture, it means teacher, it means God. Some translators have talked about the prophets, listening to the prophets, but I want to encourage you to, this particular passage really needs to be translated that it is our teacher that is walking with us. It is our teacher that speaks into our ears and gives us direction. Now, this passage of Scripture, those two verses, although I hope to unpack them a little bit and help you see the wonder that I see in them, but they are within a context of a whole chapter and a whole section of Isaiah, and so we can't ignore that. So my first point of our sermon today is this: the rebellious heart of the child. We have to talk about a little bit about the rebellious heart of the child, because these verses are located in this chapter 30 of Isaiah, and it is talking about the people of Israel not obeying, not following God's teaching. Now, not every child who struggles to learn is a rebellious child. We understand that. Some of them just have some difficulties learning certain things. But in some cases, us not learning or a child not learning because they refuse is because they have a rebellious heart. I've told you the story about when I was in fifth grade and I tried out for band, and my band director, Mr. Mitchell, wanted me to play the trumpet like my big brother Alan played. And I didn't want to play the trumpet. I wanted to play the drums. And so at the end of the school year, he said, we're going to cut you from the band. And I said, well, you can't do that. My brother plays the trumpet. My sister plays the bass clarinet. My other sister plays the flute. You cannot cut me from the band. I've got to play something, and I want to play the drums. He says, no, you can't play the drums. We got enough drummers in the world. We need a trumpeter. He said, so I won't cut you as long as you promise to come to band camp all summer long and get ready for the new year. And I said, I promise I will do it. I didn't go to one band camp that summer. Guess who got cut from the band? Yeah. Because I was rebellious. I didn't want to play the trumpet. We have students who won't read when they're assigned to read. They won't practice when they're told to practice. They won't show up. They won't try. They won't apply. I was talking to one of our young men this week, and they asked me what instruments I played. And I said, well, I can play the trumpet a little bit, but I can also play the piano. I had to play the piano in college to graduate. I had to play a whole recital. But I haven't sat down and played the piano much at all since college. And that has been 3 years. So you can see I'm rather cold about that. I have been rebellious in those ways, and some students are. But in this passage of Isaiah, what we're seeing is that God says, my children, the children I have chosen, the people of Israel that are my people, have been rebellious. They were choosing to ignore God's instruction and righteousness and seeking guidance from the enemies of God. Listen to verse 1 of Isaiah 30. Woe to the rebellious children. This is the Lord's declaration. They carry out a plan, but not mine. They make an alliance, but against my will, piling sin on top of sin. That's how God described his chosen people, that they were more inclined to sin than they were to incline their ear to hear God and obey him. And their disobedience and their rebellion and their stubbornness had gotten so bad that they chose to ignore even the word of God that came through his prophets. They grew tired of the Lord's correction, and they did not want to serve God or hear his words. Only those things that made them feel good about themselves and tickled their ears. And so they wanted to keep on sinning, and they did not want to be reminded of God's righteousness. Now, I will tell you that in the church today, we struggle across America when pastors try to proclaim the truth and the congregation has refused to listen to it. Isaiah in chapter 6, when he asked God, "How long shall I serve as your prophet?" God tells Isaiah, "You continue to serve me even when the people will not hear, even when they will not obey, even when they turn to those speakers who only tickle their ears." And that is exactly what has happened here in Isaiah chapter 30 that Isaiah finds. Verses 8 through 11, it says this. God speaks to Isaiah and says, "Go now, write it on a tablet in their presence and inscribe it on a scroll. It will be for the future, forever and ever. They are a rebellious people, deceptive children, children who do not want to obey the Lord's instruction. They say to the seers, 'Do not see,' and to the prophets, 'Do not prophesy the truth to us. Tell us flattering things. Prophesy illusions. Get out of the way. Leave the pathway. Rid us of the Holy One of Israel.'" Can you hear the mockery and the arrogance of that? "Tell the prophets of God to only tell us those things that we want to hear, not the things of God." And that's how arrogant and rebellious they were. When I was a freshman in college, I went to Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington, Illinois, and I majored in musical theater. I learned a little bit how to dance. I probably flunked out of that too. I could sing a bit and try to learn how to do some acting. That was my freshman year, majoring in musical theater. I had turned down other scholarships in gymnastics. Yes, I used to be trim and fit. Very similar to the body I hold today. And I thought about going into pre-med, so I took all those classes in high school. But in the end, I was in a play, Hello, Dolly, and I played Tucker, I guess his last name is, in Hello, Dolly. And out of that, some college scouts gave me a chance to have a scholarship to major in musical theater. So medicine, gymnastics, playing on the stage, I know what I want to do. So that's what I did. Well, I was one of those rebellious freshmen. I thought I knew it all. You know, I had been the star in my high school plays and been on the forensics team and in the debate squad and all of that. So I knew what I was doing. So when I got to my freshman year in college and Dr. George, one of our professors, was trying to teach all the freshmen how to obey and listen and respond to his direction, he got fed up with us because we were all full of ourselves. So he finally one day decided that he was going to put us through an exercise that would help us to learn how to obey without questioning and just do exactly what he told us to do. So he chose as his guinea pig a guy named Randy in our class. And I don't want to be disparaging to anybody, but he was not like the most handsome guy in the squad, okay? He was the most unattractive guy. His name was Randy. Dr. George picked him and said, "Now, Randy, I want you to do everything I say without questioning. Just do it instantly." So Randy says, "Okay." So Dr. George says, "Go over and shut the window." He goes and shuts the window. "Go sit in the red chair." He goes and sits in the red chair. "Get up and go slam the door." You got to go slam the door. "Now run over and stand right in front of Diane," which he did. Now, Diane, you have to understand, was probably the best-looking girl in the whole freshman class, and she knew it. So you got the picture here? The next command came straight out of Dr. George's mouth. "Randy, kiss Diane right on the mouth." Diane jumped up, screamed, and bolted from the room. And Randy, not to be outdone, leaned over and kissed the girl sitting right next to her. Okay. Now, I'm not saying to you that we ought to just obey every voice that comes into our head without asking any questions. What I am saying is that we have a tendency to obey voices and not question their motives. When we know when God tells us a command or gives us direction, haven't we learned by now that it is usually for our betterment? He is looking out for us. It is righteousness. It is goodness for us when God gives us a command. And yet we are so slow to obey God and so quick many times to obey the voices that we hear around us. We honor those who obey their leaders or their teachers, soldiers and students and workers. But when it comes to the people of God obeying God's voice, we are so dense and so slow. My friends, you cannot all be like me. I ask God, if you want me to know something, you're going to have to smack me in the head with a 2x4 so I get it. I am slow. I am dense. I don't always listen well. If you're like that, we've got to stop being those kinds of people. And when God gives us direction, we might pray about it momentarily. We might ask a question or two, but ultimately, we must obey. Is that not the truth? We must obey. Now, if you want God to teach you how to live like this prophet Isaiah was experiencing from God, you cannot harbor rebellion and rejection and disobedience in your heart. That junk has got to go if you want to hear God's voice speak to you about which way to go, which thing to choose, how to know to move forward. Get rid of all the junk that clouds our hearing, so we can hear the teacher who walks behind us and says, step forward, walk in it, that's the right path. Wouldn't you love to be able to hear that? That's the promise that God gives us. First, the rebellious heart of the child we have to discuss, and then the gracious help of the teacher. I am always amazed at how, despite the wickedness and the persistence of sin in God's chosen people, that God's character is always demonstrated in graciousness toward them. He doesn't want to wipe them off the face of the earth or zap them with lightning. He is always reaching out to them through the prophets or through the kings or through his laws, trying to bring betterment into their life and peace into their hearts. And so he promises them that if they would repent and return to him, he would be ready to hear them and grant them his favor. Listen to this in verse 18 and 19. It says, therefore the Lord is waiting to show you mercy and is rising up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a just God. All who wait patiently for him are happy. For you people will live on Zion in Jerusalem and will never cry again. He will show favor to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears, he will answer you. Isn't that a beautiful promise? That despite their sin, if they would turn back to God, God was willing to hear them, forgive them, and restore them. Now, to me, these next two verses I've already read, I'm going to read them again. To me, they are the amazing part of this whole passage. The Lord will give you meager bread and water during oppression or during the time that you're suffering or the time you're sinning. He will give you meager bread and water. He wants to try to say, you're not blessed when you're sinning against me, when you're straying against me. You've got to come back to me. So he will give you meager bread and water during times of oppression. But your teacher will not hide himself any longer. Your eyes will see your teacher. And whenever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear this command behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. I don't need to tell you that during the course of my life, there have been many times when I have needed God's direction. Anybody else? Lord, is this the house we should buy? What about this car? Should we invest in it? Where should I go to school? Who should my marriage partner be? What kind of man should I be? Or what kind of woman, you might ask, should I be? Is this the school that I need to attend? What should I major in? Is this the job for me? Should I take that promotion? Will it take me farther away from my family and absorb more time out of my life? Lord, what should I write my term paper on? What will help me to expand my thinking? All of these decisions we make in life, and sometimes we struggle. So we get out a piece of paper and we write all the pros and we write all the cons and we try to figure out which one's the best, We ask some people that we trust. And in reality, it all boils down to the same thing that we always say. It's a relationship with God that we need. And God points it out right here, even way back 800 years before Jesus came to Isaiah. He said, your eyes will see your teacher, and whenever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear this command behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. That's not quite as dramatic as what I was hoping for. I'm still looking for the angel to come at midnight in my bedroom and wake me up. Anybody else? Make it clear to me, God. I want to see this. But the essence of relationship with God is that we walk and we hear behind us, listening for God, giving his direction to say, this is the way. That's right. Take the next step. Walk in it. Follow my way. You've got it. Because he wants to teach us how to live for him. Now, God promised his people when they returned to him that he would be their guide and their teacher. I don't know about you, but the day that I read those verses during my devotion, about to begin my time of prayer, all I could hear was this voice shouting, Kevin, see how intimate God wants to be with you. Lord, I don't know about my marriage. Lord, I don't know about my work. I don't know if I should stay in this major in school. I don't know if I should take that promotion. I don't know what to do with my children. Lord, help me. And in times like that, we listen carefully. And if we have returned to God, he promises to be behind us, giving us direction as we go. Everybody knows this picture if you've raised any kids. You know, when you start raising a child and you're pushing them in the stroller, they can't get anywhere. Eventually, when they start walking, they'll walk by your side. But once they get old enough, you know, 18 months, and they never want to hold your hand again, I'm kidding, but they want to get off on their own. They want to explore. Many parents say, slow down, don't go around the corner, watch out, that's a street, stop, there's a car coming. We know what this is like in real life. Just imagine the same thing happens with us, with God. We're walking through life and God whispers into our ear and says, yes, that's the right step. You're doing the right thing. Yes, you've heard my word, you've learned the lessons. Be faithful, be brave. Be courageous. Walk in the way that I have told you. And God continues to guide us to the right or to the left. If you have ever longed to hear God give you his direction, here is the promise. Write it down somewhere. Underline it. Highlight it. When God says, you will see your teacher, whether to the right or to the left, your ears will hear the command behind you, this is the way. Walk in it. Now, I know, I'm a human being too. I know that there are sometimes lack of attention to the things of God mess us up. We're not praying with as much focus as we should. We're not reading the Bible, seeking to learn from God. We're not being obedient to the things we already know to do. And that leaves us in limbo at times. We're not quite sure. Have you ever gotten to the place where you really needed to make a major decision in your life, or you faced a very difficult problem and you say to yourself, man, I sure wish I had been praying more. I sure wish I was more inclined to the voice of God. I sure wish I had a scripture for this. All of those things are good, but when your thinking gets clouded, your judgment is not quite right, your discernment is not on target, even in times of distraction or seasons of stress, we can hear God because this is his word to us. Seek me, follow me, reach out to me, and you will find me. You will see your teacher. You will have spiritual eyes or senses that will see me, and I will teach you how to live. The choices that you have to make will come because I am with you and I am speaking to you if you will hear me. God is a gracious help to us. He is a teacher who guides us. Okay, you got to help me here. There's a few blank faces out there. Is this making sense to you? Are you getting it? If we will listen, do our best to be right with God, he promises to speak to us and tell us how to step forward. Last thing, and very briefly, in this passage of Scripture, the last few verses, 23 through 26, tell us about the generous hand of our God. I'm not going to concentrate on this as much because I wanted us to make sure we understood how our relationship with God is a promise he gives to us to guide us. But the generous hand of God is also expressed to the children of Israel. He promises that if they will return to him, that he will bring blessings to them. He gives some illustrations here in these verses. He says he will send rain to produce crops and feed the livestock. God will bring brightness to the dark things of life. The Lord will heal the afflictions and wounds of his people that suffered through their sinful choices. And ultimately, Isaiah declares to the people of God, they have no reason to continue walking away from God, because if they will turn and walk with God, they will discover that he is a gracious and generous Savior. When I was a young boy in grade school, one of the schools I went to was MG, E-M-G-E, it's called MG, Junior High, and it always seemed like when I was in junior high, I was extra hungry. Did you guys ever go through that? I got to have more than that, just one little plate of lunch they're serving me. And so many times I would go back through the line, and I had to sign this card for an extra lunch or two, okay? And I didn't get this way today and by not eating my lunch, you know what I mean? So, but I was always afraid to go home and tell my mom that I'd signed up for an extra lunch because, you know, we were not a real rich family, and all the other brothers and sisters had to eat as well. And so I was shied away from that. But ultimately, there came a day of reckoning. Either when the cafeteria lady gave me a form that I had to take home to tell my mom that I owed some more money, or they sent a note home unbeknownst to me, which I think is very unfair as a student in school, but telling them I owe some more money. But the day of reckoning came. But we understand that. Why do we fear the people who love us the most? Are you with me? Why are we so afraid to let God know? Oh, he sort of already knows, right? Unbeknownst to us. Why are we so afraid to admit to God that, God, I've been walking away from you. I haven't been trying to listen to you. I've been doing my own thing. I've been playing around with this or that or the other. But God, I'm tired of all that. I'm weary of that. It's not fulfilling. It's not bringing me the satisfaction I want or that I need in my life. I want to come back to you. God, would you let me come back to you? And our gracious God is just the kind that would say, I've been waiting for you. I've missed our time together. Come on back. Let's be together. So I ask you today, why do you still seek distance from God? Why are you playing with this thing that draws you away from God? Why do you keep holding on to it? What is there that entices you about that? Are you trapped in sin? You know, if you're playing around with something that is corrupting your heart, your thinking, you're never going to be free to really hear from God like you want to. Oh, he might be gracious enough to keep you within a normal realm, but if you really want to hear God and move forward in your life to fulfill the calling that he's placed on your life, you're not going to hear that if you're corrupting your thinking and hearing your heart with some sin that you're holding on to. Are you bearing a great hurt? There are times, I will tell you, that when I go through life that something that is on my heart is just so consuming that it's hard for me to really hear God, because every time I bow my head and close my eyes to pray, it's like that thing jumps up on a screen in front of me. And it's just the hurt and the burden. Are you overwhelmed by life? Do you need direction? Are you one of these young college-age students that is, you'd like to go to school, you want to know where to go, you know what to major in, but you're not quite sure? You think God's called you to some kind of ministry or wants to use you in a special way, and you're not quite sure? Are the choices that are laid out for you things you cannot decide? Shall I go? Shall I stay? Should I go this way or that way? Make this choice, buy this? What should I do? Or have you been afraid how God might respond because you haven't been all you know you need to be? What is keeping you where you are and keeping you from stopping for a moment, getting rid of the garbage that is there? I'm not going to say you're going to be perfect, but there's a difference between tripping up and holding on to a sin that you just have learned to love. Get rid of the junk you can and come to the Lord, because he promises you this. He will accept you. He will forgive you. And this is the awesome part. I'm not very good at these things, but if I could express it, the awesome part is that I don't have an angel behind me. He sends us angels to minister us. That's true. But it's not an angel whispering in my ear. Are you getting this? The awesome thing is that if we desire for God to speak to us, it is our teacher that is behind us. It's the Lord himself. Oh, I like angels, but angels ain't all I need. I need the Lord behind me saying, take a step forward. Walk in it. It's right. And have the confidence that that brings. Have you been a rebellious child? Will you wake up and realize that the teacher wants to help you? And finally realize that when you turn back to him, he's been there behind you, wanting to whisper in your ear so you know how to move forward all the time. That is my God. That is my teacher. Let's pray. Father, I beg of you today to do more than I can do. By your Holy Spirit, show your people the wonder of this truth. As much as we recognize what teachers in our school and college do for us, how they pour themselves into us, how they are an example, and they learn to value us greatly, if not even love us, and long for us to reach our potential. If we can see that in our human teachers, in our parents, in our bosses, in our commanders, Lord, help us to see that in you. That if we will be pliable in your hands, if we will be humble before you, that you promise to be by us, gently nudging us in the right way. Lord, you don't tell us, like I have often prayed, Lord, just, you know, lay out the next 10 years and I'll be happy to do it. You don't do that. It's usually a day at a time, short period of a season for a time, so that we'll trust you, so that we'll lean on you. But Lord, we praise you that you are the teacher behind us, showing us how to live. We thank you for that in the name of Christ. I pray you'll encourage those that need to get back into that groove to come and to pray, to pour themselves out before you, to seek your forgiveness, and then hear you clearly again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we sing?